What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 33 of the Think Computers weekly tech podcast, where each week we sit down, we talk about tech, we kind of geek out. With me this morning, as always, I have Derek. What's up with you, Derek?
Not much, Bob. How you doing?
It's Friday morning. Get excited for the weekend.
We're dead into fall, though, right? So
yeah,
it's that exciting outside.
Been kind of decent here. It hasn't been horrible. Yeah, it hasn't been that bad. So
it's getting depressing.
And the hockey season started last night. I'm pretty pumped about that.
Yeah,
you know, so
sports.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, so, I forgot to mention this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that helps us out and helps this podcast keep going, and as the holiday season comes up, there'll be a lot of awesome deals on Amazon, which we will definitely let you guys know about. But let's jump right into reviews. We had three awesome reviews this week. We'll start with the Vantech Nexstar 3.1, which is a 2.5 hard drive enclosure, 2.5 inch hard drive enclosure that uses USB 3.1. So you're going to see a lot of devices like this come out with USB 3.1 being native on Z170 motherboards, as well as a bunch of other devices, new laptops that are coming out. Obviously, we saw USB 3.1 on the new MacBook. Very, very just simple device. Hard drive enclosures aren't, you know, all that complicated. What's really cool about this is if you install an SSD on it, you're basically going to max it out. So if you have an old SSD laying around, you want to add some, you know, extra storage, say, to a laptop, or just, you know, extra storage in general, you know, just makes a great little enclosure, and it's made of aluminum as well, so it's going to stay nice. It's not going to, you know, it's going to protect your drive inside there. Just a great little enclosure. The Vantech Nexstar line has been out for pretty much ever since, like, USB has been out, really.
Yeah.
You know, just a great little enclosure. You know, a lot of people, you know, it's coming to that time where, you know, people who might have bought 120 gig SSDs or have upgraded to 500 gig or 1 terabyte now.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, that SSD is just sitting around. So this is just a great device to use to make use of that, whether it's with a different, you know, PC, or whether it's with a laptop or something like that. Perfect little, you know, device for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like cool. I said, not a whole lot to say about
a hard drive enclosure. No, it's a hard drive enclosure, yeah.
Yeah, but just, you know, and the thing that's great is if you are using USB 3.1, you're going to max out the drive. And even USB, it's obviously backwards compatible with USB 3.0 and USB 2.0, so you can use it on any device, really. And you're going to get very, very fast speeds on there, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Definitely cool. Go ahead and check that out if you have an extra SSD laying around. And then we'll move on from that to a pretty interesting product. D-Link has a Wi-Fi audio extender that we took a look at. And this thing's pretty interesting because not only is it a Wi-Fi extender, but it's a Wi-Fi audio extender. So what that means is that you can actually sort of just like beam audio out to it. Which is pretty.
What do you mean by that?
So, I can take this is like a, you know, you see like a Wi-Fi range extender typically, which will extend your Wi-Fi network.
Yeah, you kind of put it at the edge of your router's range and make it go farther.
This does that, but then it also has a audio connection on it, so you can connect a, you know, you can beam audio to it and then connect it to, like, say, speakers or something along that line. Yeah. Just gives you a little bit more functionality.
You just runs or play some audio on your desktop and then stream it over Wi-Fi to it.
Yeah. So it's like if you have a speaker that has, you know, the auxiliary in, and, you know, a lot of people have these really great speakers that are older that don't have, say, Bluetooth, you know, a lot of these speakers systems before, you know, didn't run on Bluetooth, or maybe they're like the ones that were older and made for iPods.
Yeah, okay, I gotcha.
That still do have an auxiliary in, because a lot of those ones that have the iPod dock still gave you an auxiliary in just because.
Yeah, yeah.
So this gives you the functionality of being able to beam out your music to the device, you know, and still walk around with your phone or do all, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And still listen to music and still make use of an older device. Like, just like I said, like an older stereo or older, you know, speaker system, this gives you that. And it's, I think it's like an extra $10 or something like that compared to a Wi-Fi range extender.
For the audio version?
Yeah. So, again, you're not only getting a range extender, but you're getting the audio functionality as well. Nice. So this is just a device that I think a lot of people can make use of. I have a bunch of older speaker systems, like the iPod ones, mm-hmm. that obviously I don't even have an iPod. I have an iPhone, but obviously that doesn't, you know.
Yeah, you can't even use the new iPhones with them.
Yeah, so this would be great, because then I can still use my phone to play music, but I can have my phone in my hand. I don't have to have it connected. I don't have to run an audio cable myself, you know.
Yeah, walking around with a cord trailing from you.
Yeah, so it's pretty simple device. You know, just like any range extender, it just plugs right into the wall, and you kind of just set it up and forget about it.
Yeah, and Jack reviewed this. He said it was a pretty easy installation, right?
Yeah, all these range extenders, typically you just plug them in, you connect to them with whatever device. You can even connect to them using your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Just connect to them, and you go. It's just like setting up a router, almost like a, you know, yeah. you connect it to your current Wi-Fi network, and you're good to go. It's
kind of log in, and it does the rest.
Yeah, it's extremely easy to do. You know,
and this is something that a lot of people don't realize. I mean, these have been around forever, but like they don't. A lot of people, like regular users, don't realize this is something. When you've got those slow speeds in your home, it's just a lot of times it's just your router doesn't have the range, and this is something that you can easily use to get a much better signal throughout your house.
Yeah, so I actually have a range extender in my house, and I live in an older building where like the walls are concrete.
Yep.
And, you know, the Wi-Fi signal doesn't go all that far. No. While I can still get it pretty well, like in the back area of my apartment, I do have a range extender back there, so that I can actually sit out on my patio as well and have, you know,
yeah.
good internet, you know, to do things, obviously.
For sure.
So, yeah, these are great. For anybody that's having problems with, you know, just better connectivity to their router, range extenders are very inexpensive, and it's just an easy way to do that, easy way to get better connection. Especially, I know people too that, you know, have their router, say, like in their living room, and then in their bedroom they want to watch like Netflix or something, and
mm-hmm.
you know, they just don't, there's not enough, I guess, speed there to do
that. Yeah, so they're at the far end of the signal, so.
Yeah, so the range extender, you know, gives you that ability, and at a very low cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not like a lot of people are like, oh, I have to replace my whole router, but that's not true.
Yeah,
you can use a router that's less powerful and still get the signal around your home. So
exactly.
And so, in this case, you can use it as an audio device as well.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Cool to see, you know, D-Link do something like this. Just gives you more ability with the you know, with the range extender, which I like.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, so definitely check that out if you're interested in something like that. And then finally, we have some DDR4. So I took a look at the G-Skill Ripjaws 5, and it was a 8GB DDR4 3200 kit. So this is a dual-channel kit that is designed for the Z170 chipset. So you're going to see a lot of these dual-channel kits come out.
Yeah.
This one's pretty fast. DDR4 3200 is very, very fast. It is the fastest dual-channel kit that we've taken a look at.
Nice.
And they're just, you know, G-Skill is not necessarily a brand a lot of people think about. I always think about them because they always have some of the fastest kits available.
They almost always have the world record, but
yes.
They're still not, like, personally, they're not my go-to brand.
Yeah, I don't know why, because I don't know if they just don't do enough marketing compared to a lot of the other companies, but all of their kits are very well done. you know, they look good, they perform great. Yeah, there's not much really bad I can say about this kit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the very, very high speeds, XMP profile at 3200 megahertz is quite high.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, I really like this kit. It's only 8 gigabytes. They do offer it in 16 as well. You know, so if you wanted something a little bit, you know, higher capacity, you can go ahead and do that.
I think if you were building this like a Skylake system right now, you'd probably go with 16. Even though 8 is fine, 16 is more future proof.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, they do offer it in 8 and 16 gigs. Black heat spreader with a black PCB, so this is pretty much going to match any motherboard out there. They also they also offer it with black PCB and a red heat spreader as well.
Yeah, as G-Scale would.
Yes, for sure.
I don't know if that's it. Maybe like I've never been like the biggest fan of the stylings of their heat spreaders.
Yeah, their new Trident ones I really like.
Yeah, I like these.
Yeah, these are pretty decent as well.
They've kind of always been a little over the top, and like blue and red were like their thing.
Yeah,
but you know, it's good memory.
Yeah, very, very great memory.
And what, $78 for 8 gig kit? That's not bad.
Yeah, again, it's very hard to find very high, high frequency memory DDR4, especially in dual channel right now. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you think about it, the default DDR4 is 2133, and this is 3200. That's pretty high. And, the timings are 16, 16, 16, 36. So that's pretty tight timings as well.
Yeah. You could easily bump the speed up by loosening them, probably.
Yeah.
And did you mess around with them?
Yeah, so I was able to get them up to 3,333, and that was just going up to 16, 17, 17, 36.
Okay.
Same voltage, or no, I bumped the voltage up to 1.4. The problem with overclocking DDR4 this high, it's already sort of overclocked because they bump the voltage up to even get it up higher, is that it all depends on your motherboard, and with Z170 being so new.
Yeah,
it's hard to really get up there. And I didn't, when I overclock for our reviews, I don't want to get that far away from the timings. Actually try to stick with the timings on the XMP profile.
Yeah. You can kind of, with memory, you can kind of skew the way it's actually overclocking and make it look like an extreme overclock, but you've just loosened the timing so badly that it's actually slower.
Yeah, so like I try to keep it very, very close. And a lot of times, again, it all depends on your motherboard, because if you don't have a motherboard that they haven't updated the BIOS or whatever, you might not even be able to get up past the XMP profile.
Right. Which, in this case, isn't really that necessary.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're already running pretty fast. Like I said, I was able to bump it up a little bit with very, you know, just moving the timings a little bit. But again, it just all depends on, you know, it all depends on your motherboard, really. We use the ASUS Z170A, and ASUS is always great at updating their BIOSes frequently. So if you're getting a kit like this, be sure that you have the latest BIOS, because it's probably going to support the higher memory and probably give you a better overclock if that's what you're going for.
More stable.
Yes. So yeah, those were our reviews for the week.
Nice.
And we will move to Case Mod Friday, which I decided to go back and find something I really enjoyed and I saw for a while. This is actually from last year.
Yeah.
I
was thinking we should have done this one last week.
Yeah, because we were talking about the Thermaltake Core P5.
Yeah.
So this is, well, first, Case Mod Friday, if you're new to the podcast or new to the site, is a section of the site where each week we feature a case mod or case build that's been completed in the community. Just a great way to show off what's going on in the community. Just great builds. You know, if you have an idea about building a system, this gives you a lot of inspiration. And it's just awesome. A lot of these are really great. And the one today we have is very, very awesome. It is a full wall mount PC that somebody hand built.
This is Max Planck version 2, right?
Yes.
So version 1, I don't want to say it was the original, but it was basically the original wall-mounted PC, water-cooled PC. Like, it was the first one kind of in the mod scene. Like I said, there's probably been done before, but, like, it was when everybody was like, oh my gosh, that's possible.
Yeah.
It's so awesome, I want to do that too.
Yeah.
So, essentially, yeah, it's a PC on a board, on a wall.
It's a whole wall mount. He custom built it himself. You know, as I always say, it's just best to go look at the photos that we have on the feature page. But it's just a great build, fully water-cooled, you know, displaying the graphics card with riser cables. You know, everything is all separated. It's just really, really good, really well done. Really cool.
Backlighting on, like, everything.
Yeah, all the hardware that's actually displayed, he made custom mounts for each piece of hardware and then backlit those in red. Just looks great. Really cool reservoirs as well on the water cooling.
Mm-hmm. The Helix.
Yes.
Twisted tube in there.
Yeah, so very, very cool. And then he has a really cool photo showing off his setup, which he has three monitors, and then right above it he has the wall mount system. Yeah. Just awesome. I would love to have this on my wall.
Yeah.
You know, definitely a conversation piece. You know, when people walk into your house and see it, very, very cool.
And I mean, it keeps the desk clutter free, you know?
Yeah, yeah. If it's on the wall.
Utilitarian as well.
Yeah. you have no desk mess at all, really, because your whole system is on the wall. And then he has a water cooling connected to an external radiator, which is actually pretty cool, too. Yeah. I kind of like that just because it keeps the radiator out of the way.
Yeah, for sure. That.
So, yeah.
What, did he show the radiator? What size radiator is he running in?
At least it looks like I know it's in the build log, but I believe it's at least a 360.
It's got to be at least.
Yeah.
For all that, but I was almost thinking it was even bigger, maybe, but maybe not.
So, like they said, very, very cool build. Again, it just shows creativity of a lot of people, and a lot of times you don't think about these things. As you said, this is one of the first ones.
Yeah. His original one was, like I said, I don't know if it was the first one, but, like, it maybe the first time it was done this well, because this is pretty professionally built, you know?
Yeah. If you guys go to the feature page we have and check out all the photos, and you can see everything. And then obviously we list everything that he used to build it. And we do link to the build log as well, so you can go check that out and actually see how he designed this and see how he built it. It's actually really cool how he designed it and set it up and everything. So yeah, definitely go ahead and check that out. And every week we do feature a new build. So, you know, you can go back and check them all out. We've been featuring builds for maybe a year. Maybe longer. Yeah, for a good while we've been featuring builds. And, you know, if you want to submit your build, we have a submit your case little link on the top section of the page where you can go ahead and submit yours as well. So yeah.
Definitely do that.
We will move on to news this week. And not a whole lot of news. It's kind of just, I guess you would say it's like sort of like the right in between time. We're gearing up for holiday season, so we're going to have a lot of releases coming out. But we'll start with some graphics card news. First is that the AMD Dual VGA XT graphics card was actually spotted in a shipping manifest. So what that actually means is that I guess some of these boards have been shipped.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about the post is that we know that they're going to call this, or at least the code name for the dual GPU Fiji card is going to be called Gemini.
That's pretty cool.
Which AMD has actually used in the past.
Yeah.
Also on the shipping manifest, it lets us know that it comes with that Cooler Master cooler that they used on the original.
I can't imagine doing it without.
Yeah, so it looks like they're still going to go with Cooler Master on that. You know, we're not actually sure if these are fully done boards or if they're, you know, engineering samples. We're not exactly sure.
We're only talking about 28 units. So.
Yeah. So we're not actually sure what the deal is on these. But they were shipped. It was, you know, and the leak is very genuine leak. So okay. It just means that we're getting closer. I think, was it last week we talked about the dual GPU NVIDIA card coming out?
Yeah. So it's a race. The race is on.
Yeah, it's like the race is on to get their first dual GPU of this current generation of graphics cards. I'm super excited. I love seeing stuff like this. I just think that dual GPU cards are like the coolest thing.
I was never a fan until I got one, and now like I think it's the best idea ever. Because it's an SLI setup on one card. Yeah. Like you can't overclock them as far typically, but a lot of times that's completely unnecessary anyways.
Yeah. So. I just think that if you just look at the designs of the card and just seeing two GPUs on one PCB is just like the coolest thing ever, I think.
Especially with the high bandwidth memory stacked on there. Yeah. This card looks awesome.
Yeah. Just a great looking card, and the engineering and everything that goes behind something like this is very cool. If you're a hardware geek, this is something you can definitely appreciate for sure.
Laying that PCB out could not have been easy.
Yeah. So so we'll be seeing both of these, I would assume, before the end of the year, maybe even before.
I'm thinking this is a Christmas.
Yeah, around Christmas time, should see both cards out, I would assume, by then.
Maybe even a launch just before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we could definitely see that. This is the time of year to do it. People are spending a lot more money this time of year.
Yeah.
So,
what do you think? This probably be $1,200?
$1,000 to $1,300, depends. Yeah. I don't. How much of the Fury X is going for?
Oh, there right now. They were like 800.
Yeah, so I mean, you're getting two of those on one card.
Yeah, but yeah, you always get a price. Oh, are they down to 650 now?
649, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so probably like 1200. And the thing is, too, is that at the same time, there still is a limited availability of Fiji chips.
Yeah.
So.
I bet you're right. It's about $1,000.
Yeah, it'd probably be, knowing AMD, they've been pricing things a little higher. I would say $1,200.
They probably won't just double the price though. I bet they drop it down just a bit.
I guess we'll have to see when it comes out.
It'll depend on the NVIDIA card too.
Yes. But it is quite exciting to see all this stuff. For sure. So. So we'll move.
What? Oh, we don't know. I was going to say, what effective memory do you think it'll have?
I should just have double. So
8.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
So it should have 8 gigabytes of HBM.
Cool.
So yeah, pretty excited. It will be the fastest AMD card ever built. So
if it gets to the market first, it should be the fastest single card solution available. Period.
Yep. It will. So we will talk about NVIDIA now. Their new bundle has been released. So we've seen these bundles for the past few years, and it's where if you buy a GeForce graphics card or a system with one in it or a notebook with a GeForce graphics card in it, you get a free game few free games. And the new one will give you the ability to choose from Assassin's Creed Syndicate or the new Tom Clancy Rainbow Six Siege. So this is on any GeForce GTX 970 or 980. Not exactly sure if it goes up to the 980 Ti or the...
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that.
But this offer is valid until the January 5th of 2016. Assassin's Creed Syndicate comes out the 19th of November, and then Tom Clancy... Rainbow Six Siege is available December 1st. So if you're buying this now, you will have the ability. If you're buying graphics cards now, you will have the ability to get those games when they come out.
Nice.
It's just a nice little value add-on if you're buying a GeForce card. We've seen this for the past couple years, and it's just great knowing that, you know, if you're buying a new graphics card, you already have a pretty awesome game to play with it. And both of these games are built with NVIDIA GameWorks. They're gonna probably perform best on NVIDIA cards.
Yeah, usually they always do. I think AMD actually started this, and it was a really good thing.
Yeah, it just gives you that value add on knowing that, okay, I'm at least getting in the game with this as well.
Yeah. I think they personally, I think they should give both the games, but, you know.
I mean, these are AAA titles, though. A lot of times with, you know, you'd get one AAA title and then some crap games or whatever.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, so, and the thing is, too, that 970 is not a very high-end card, and you're getting a you know, AAA title with it. Assassin's Creed is one of the best single-player games I've ever played, ever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, it's just a nice little value add-on, and I think I think we'll continue to see this as, you know, as time goes on with both AMD and NVIDIA.
As long as the competition stays there, it should continue.
Yes, for sure.
As long as AMD continues to exist.
Yes. So we were just talking about this before the podcast. Microsoft announced their first ever laptop, and it is called the Surface Book. And this is quite an interesting device because it's a 2-in-1 or it's a convertible, meaning that the top part of the device or the screen is actually that's where almost all of the components are. Right. So you can actually detach it, and it's sort of like a normal Surface, except for it's made to be a laptop. You know, the bottom part has the extra battery in it. It has a full mechanical keyboard. It has a glass multi-touch touchpad, and it gives you extra ports as well.
Right.
But all of the horsepower and everything like that is actually on the top part, which is a 13.3-inch display. It's just a sexy machine, I have to say.
Yeah.
The entire part, both top and bottom, are I believe it's magnesium alloy.
Yep, magnesium alloy.
Yeah. I would say go to the post and check out the photos and check out. Yeah. There's a video on there that Microsoft released.
You got to see the video.
Yeah, it is such a sexy design. And a lot of people take the Surface for granted. I know a lot of people who actually replaced their laptops with Surfaces because they do work very well. They're very well built too.
The pro versions are just as powerful as most laptop or business laptops, I would say.
Yeah. And also this one, inside you have a 6th generation Core i7 Skylake processor, discrete NVIDIA GeForce Maxwell graphics with dedicated memory, 16 gigabytes of DDR4, and 1 terabyte of storage. So it's going to perform just like a what's it called?
Ultrabook.
Yeah.
Or anything. Really, actually, that's really on the level of like a decent full-size laptop.
Yeah.
Like specs-wise.
Yeah. So it's going to...
It's a pretty impressive machine.
Yeah, it's going to be able to do things like Photoshop and all that kind of productivity stuff. Photo editing, probably you could do video editing.
I think you could do video on that.
Yeah, you could.
Oh, obviously you can do, but I think it would do it with a decent amount of speed. It's an i7.
Yeah, it's an i7, and then you have the dedicated graphics, which with all Adobe products support the hardware acceleration with NVIDIA graphics cards, so you're going to have that as well. Yeah. And it just looks so sexy, and one really cool thing about it is the actual, where it connects for the... where the top part of the system connects to the bottom part where the keyboard is, it's really, really interesting. It's not like anything that I've seen for a laptop and how it closes.
It's like an accordion style.
Yeah, hinge. You really have to watch the video. It's kind of hard to explain here on the podcast, but it's just such a cool design, and it's actually... It kind of senses when you're about to detach both sides, and it just like allows it to detach. It's actually really cool.
Yeah, you don't push any buttons or pull any levers. It just
goes. I think there's a lot of applications, and I think a lot of people are going to be using these because while the Surface and Surface Pro were great, a lot of people really wanted that dedicated keyboard, and they wanted that type of design and that type of power in a more laptop, you know, in an actual true laptop.
Yeah, as nice as the pads for the old Surface tablets are, there's something about that tactile feel of, you know, the chiclet keys, and so having that on this is really nice.
Yeah.
It just gives you the full experience.
Yeah, I would love to check one of these out and really see how it compares to, say, like an Ultrabook or something like that.
Yeah, I think that it's not even, well, it's obviously it's competing against MacBook, what, Air Pros? Probably Pros. And
yeah.
And then also more at like Lenovo's Ultrabooks and yeah. Dell's Ultrabooks.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how this does. Obviously, since it is a Microsoft product, it's going to come preloaded with Windows 10 as well as Office 2016.
It's a good value, too.
Yeah, so you get that, you know, you do have that good value on there with the addition of Office and everything. It also
$1,500, comes, though.
Yeah, it's $1,500, but it does come with the new Microsoft Pen, which is a pen that is designed for this. So if you're doing any type of drawing or any, you know, and the screen is actually made for the pen as well.
Okay.
Photoshopping
as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, so there's a lot of cool stuff. There's a lot of applications, not only business, but as far as creative,
yeah.
You know, this could be definitely something like that. And, you know, just great build quality all around. I'm really a fan of this. I was really, the second version of the Surface is the one that I really, really liked. And they, you know, since the second version of the Surface, you know, Microsoft has done a really great job with that product, I think.
I remember when they announced that Microsoft was going to make their own tablet, and I'm like, oh, that'll be around for a couple of years, and then they'll get rid of it.
Yeah,
it doesn't
they've
sell.
Really, their design team has been really great, and they've yeah. really put a lot of power in these, so they're not just like any other dinky tablet.
Yep.
So
I think that's probably the key, is they're capable.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing with
yeah.
this, especially Surface Pros. You know, they're made to be a laptop replacement. And
yeah.
While this is a laptop, it's still super powerful, very capable, looks good. I'm sure if that keyboard has to be super comfortable to type on as well.
Yeah.
The glass touchpad, all that stuff. So yeah, very, very, I'd love to take a look at one of these and test it out and just see how, you know, see how it compares to a normal laptop or an Ultrabook.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I think Microsoft should sponsor us for CES. And we'll just send us some loaners, you know?
Yeah, I know, right?
I'd carry it around.
Yeah, there's definitely a sexy machine. If you haven't seen these yet, they were announced this week, so definitely take a look at that. So yes. We'll go from Microsoft over to Dell, and Dell has expanded their XPS series. So last year at CES, we saw the announcement of the XPS 13, which was one very, very sexy machine.
It really was.
Just a great device. And they've upgraded that. They've upgraded all of the new devices with 6th generation Skylake. So that's kind of the big thing.
Yeah.
They also have an XPS 12, which is much like the Microsoft Surface Book, but it's obviously a little bit different. But it is a 2-in-1. It's a detachable. It's a 12-inch detachable. So, again,
yeah.
You can detach the top part and use it as a tablet, and then you can put it back in, and the bottom part has a keyboard and battery and all that other kind of stuff.
Works just like a laptop.
Yes. And they have a larger 15-inch which is their XPS 15, and that's their big powerhouse, you know, type
yeah.
computer. And go ahead.
Do we have part specs for these?
Yes. The 15-inch has an i7 quad core, NVIDIA GeForce GTX 960M.
Okay.
2 gigabytes of dedicated GDDR5 on that. 16 gigabytes of memory. 1 terabyte hard drive. Or 1 terabyte PCI Express SSD storage, so you could have some
Ooh.
Really fast storage. And the 15-inch also has Thunderbolt 3 in there.
Nice.
So, yeah.
That's the real professional version, then.
They also, with this new XPS launch, they've also have a bunch of accessories that come with these. And one of the really cool ones that I really like is, I gotta find it. I think it's called the Dell Power Companion.
Okay.
So it is much like those little chargers for like mobile devices, the
yeah.
little battery chargers.
Yeah.
But this one actually will charge your laptop.
That's awesome.
Which is cool. So that comes in 12,000 milliwatt amp hours or 18,000. So yeah, you have those, which is really cool because there's so many times where like, you know, you're at an airport or something, and you're like, you just
yeah.
only have so much power, or you're on a plane and you only have so much power, And this gives you the ability to stay plugged in, to have power on the go.
Yeah, but not have a giant laptop with a huge battery.
Yeah.
That's awesome, actually.
Yeah, so this just gives you that. This allows for that, which I really like. And, you know, those power devices, those portable chargers or whatever you want to call them, have been so popular because we want to keep our devices charged. And this just makes it even cooler, I think. You know, I think that I thought that was like one of the coolest things actually about this announcement was the announcement of that.
The battery.
Yeah.
It's really cool. They're kind of because it's not like a new line. So,
yeah, it's, they also
updated versions of the current line.
Yeah, they also announced a couple docks. They have a Thunderbolt dock, which allows you to charge and connect your XPS laptop to a single data and power source and allow for ultimate performance. So you can actually power up to 3 full HD displays or 2 4K displays on there.
Nice.
With Thunderbolts, and then they have the normal dock, which gives you a USB Type-C connection, and that allows you to run 2 full HD displays as well. I talked about the Dell Power Companion. They have custom sleeves that came out with different adapters, all different kinds of stuff.
Nice.
That's really cool because I like to see. So you know, normally when you buy a laptop, you have to buy different accessories from different companies that may not work specifically for your laptop, or they're, you know, it's really great to see Dell come out and be like, okay, here's our XPS line. We have 3 models. Here are a bunch of accessories that work with every model that give you more expandability or help, you know, for whatever. I really like that.
They're probably styled to go with it.
Yeah, they all those accessories have Dell logos on them and all that. Yeah, it's just it's great that they've expanded the line. It's great to see all the accessories. I think the big thing for me is the accessories because, you know, if I'm looking to buy a laptop, say I'm looking at a Dell or I'm looking at Lenovo or I'm looking at, you know, that the Surface Book that we just talked about, what is going to, you know, be the best thing for me? And now that I know that, okay, if I get the Dell, I can get these all these different accessories that are going to allow me to do something. Say, like, say maybe I want this to be my desktop replacement, right?
Yeah.
Well, now I know that they have a dock that allows me to connect 2 4K displays to it or, you know,
different things. Yeah, so you still have all that.
Yeah, so when I get home, I can connect it to that and I can connect my displays. You know, just like certain things like that that I think would, for a lot of people, especially people like us who are into productivity and things like that, they, you know, the accessories are what sells these, I think.
Yep. No, just knowing that the product support is there.
Yeah, with that support for the things that you want, I think that's really great. So I might be looking at one of these.
Yeah, maybe price-wise, they're great too.
Yeah, the so the XPS, the smaller the 12-inch convertible, will start at $1,000. The XPS 13, the new version will be available. Oh, it's already available. It was available yesterday.
Yep.
And that will start at $799, and the 15 will start at $999 or $1,000. So
it's well under their competitors.
Yeah, so they do a great job. I would like to check out that convertible as well. I really like the convertibles now that they're powerful enough to be, you know, full laptops. They're more than powerful enough to do most things that you want to do.
Yeah, because nothing's more painful than pulling out your tablet and having it lag on you.
Yeah, or like you're trying to actually do productivity things, you know, like for us updating the website and doing some photo editing and things like that. And it's just like when it's sluggish, it's just a pain.
You didn't want to do it.
Yeah, it's just not fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all three of these are really great devices. And I love the accessories. It's definitely check that out. If you're looking to get a new laptop, these are definitely a great choice. And they all have that, except for the tablet, which does not, but both the 15 and 7 or the 15 and 13 have that edge to edge display.
Yeah, which looks awesome.
Which is amazing.
And seriously, and these are a little updated, but like even the original versions of these looked awesome.
Yeah, the CES pictures last year don't do it justice. You have to go see these. You know, if you can go to a Best Buy or something and check them out.
Yeah. Super sleek.
Yeah, the edge to edge display is just awesome. Mm-hmm. It's just awesome. So definitely, if you're interested in taking a look at a new laptop, definitely consider these because they're pretty awesome. And I don't typically say that about Dell products. So
no, like the fact that we're even talking about Dell right now is pretty impressive
for an extended period of time too. We're talking about them for an extended period of time,
like excitedly.
Yeah.
So it's good to see them honestly come back from maybe they weren't failing, but it felt like they were failing.
Yeah, yeah. So I think they did the right thing
since they bought back and they're a private company now.
Yeah,
I think good things are happening there
for sure. So, we'll move on to a case launch this week from our good friends over at Be Quiet.
Love Be Quiet.
Yes. So, they originally came out with their first case, which was the Silent Base 800. And they just released this week the Silent Base 600, which is a smaller version. Still made for high-end systems. Still made to be super compatible with everything. Just a great case. If you haven't seen the Be Quiet Silent Base 800, we have a review of it. You should definitely check it out.
Yeah.
You know, it's great to see these companies that don't necessarily, you know, Be Quiet, we know, for a cooling company.
Mm-hmm. And they power supplies and CPU coolers. Yeah.
And, you know, now that they've been in the industry a while, they wanted to design a case that also was quiet and was made to be functional, you know, and the Silent Base 800 was a great case. And this one is just a little bit smaller, still made to be very functional. And that's the thing a lot of these case companies kind of forget about is, you know, installation and all that. You know, Be Quiet has really taken the time to say, okay, what makes this functional? What can we do to fix this, or how can we do this, and all of that? This is just a smaller version. I don't know the price. The price is $109.
What size are we talking here?
Mid-tower.
Mid-tower, okay.
Yes. Mid-tower case.
Averagely priced, maybe a little high?
Yeah, I think that's just a launch price. Probably will go down.
The actual sale price will drop.
Yeah, it probably will go down. But it's just a great case. If you haven't seen the Be Quiet cases, I would definitely take a look at them. Very well designed.
Some cool accents. Be Quiet theme.
Yes, for sure.
Orange and black.
Yes, and that's something that you don't typically see either.
No.
So you could match this, say, with the Gigabyte OC line.
Yeah.
That'd be a perfect match, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely a cool-looking case. We'll be reviewing a lot of cases coming up for the holiday season. So
nice.
A lot of stuff coming up for that. Yes, I will be very busy. And then we are going to finish out our news with some gaming stuff. First, Fallout 4 comes out tomorrow, the 10th, and we have the PC requirements.
Get your PC ready.
So for the minimum system requirements for Fallout 4, Intel Core i5 2300 or Phenom X4 945, 8 gigabytes of RAM, 30 gigabytes of hard drive space, NVIDIA GTX 550 Ti or Radeon 7870 2 gigabytes. So you need at least a 2 gigabyte graphics card, which makes sense. 8 gigabytes of RAM, which also makes sense, and a decent, you know.
The Intel's a dual core, so.
Yeah, so you don't need a, you know.
Not a crazy processor.
Yeah, and then the recommended settings is a Core i7 4790, AMD FX 9590, 8 gigabytes of RAM, 30 gigabytes of hard drive space, GTX 780, and Radeon R9 290X. They also released this console storage space, so if you're going to be playing this on console, you'll need at least 28 to 35 gigabytes, depending on your territory and language of support. And it will become available November 10th at 12:01 a.m. Digitally. And,
cool.
Pretty excited. I think a lot of people are excited for this game. This is one of the more anticipated games coming out, you know, I guess tomorrow. But, you know, a lot of people love this game. So
wait, it comes out tomorrow, but you got November 10th?
Oh, November 10th. I'm sorry. That's correct. Yeah, I'll November. Sure. It's coming
one
out
month. Tomorrow. 1 month from tomorrow.
Yes. Sorry about that, guys.
Just didn't want anybody to go taking work off or anything.
It is a little early in the morning. November 10th. I'm sorry, guys. So About a month from tomorrow, it will be available. So, pretty pumped about that. I might actually check it out, to be honest.
You think?
Get some gaming going on. Talking about gaming, Star Wars Battlefront came out yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we also listed the system requirements for that. So, minimum Intel i3-6300T or equivalent, 8 gigabytes of RAM, 40 gigabytes of hard drive space, GTX 660, 2 gigabytes, or a Radeon 7850, 2 gigabytes, and that's pretty much it. And then for recommended, Intel i5-6600, 16 gigabytes of RAM, 40 gigabytes of hard drive space, GTX 970, 4 gigabyte, or Radeon R9 290, 4 gigabyte. So this, this came out.
Those are a bit steeper.
The game looks amazing.
Does it?
I've played it for a while last night. We were actually streaming it. If you guys want to check out us streaming, it's twitch.tv/syncomputers. But yeah, I played it. I guess you would call it the worlds, or you know, the levels look really great. A lot of detail. The game's a lot of fun. I played both modes. The Walker Assault mode and the pod. I don't know what that one's called, where you collect the pods. Both of them are a lot of fun. Plays really well so far.
Playing on? What hardware?
Good question. I'm not even sure what graphics card I have in the system. Bob. I'm not even sure what graphics card I have in the system. I'll tell you in a second.
What kind of nerd are you?
No, it's just that I just don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hold on. My GeForce Experience is not opening.
Why don't you just try out DX Diag?
That just takes too long. Anyways, but it does, and I don't have the best graphics card in here. This is just the normal system. Here we go. I have a GeForce GTX 680.
Okay.
So, and then,
older card.
Yeah, and I'm running a Intel Core i7-3970X, and I have 16 gigabytes of memory. So it looks great on the 680. I'm sure it's going to look even better on higher cards. And
did you mess with the quality settings?
No, I didn't change anything.
So whatever it picked.
Yeah, so it does look great, and it's a lot of fun to play. On the Walker Assault, I got in a couple different things. I got in a TIE fighter, which was very hard to maneuver.
Oh, really?
At least for the first time ever playing it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of a Battlefield thing. Like the, vehicles aren't necessarily easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of nice actually, because you don't just hop in them and just like maul people over. But once you figure out how to like fly something well, you like just destroy with it.
Yeah, I got in that. I got in one of the big walkers, which are pretty easy to maneuver. A lot of different cool stuff. Obviously, like with your, as you play, you level up and you unlock certain abilities and certain things, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then those are the only two modes available in multiplayer right now. There's actually a mode which I'd be pretty excited for. Is the I think it's called like squadron mode or something, where it's all flying, I believe.
Really?
That's not available in the beta, but it will be available when the game comes out.
Yeah.
But that would be pretty cool, as you talked about, you know, if you just want to play TIE Fighter or, you know, have those type of battles, you'll be able to have that.
I'd like to play an X-Wing.
Yeah, so the way, a lot of people didn't know, the way certain things work is that there's certain power-ups that give you the ability to go in the vehicles and things like that. And I believe there's a power-up that allows you to like, you basically play the same character, but, randomly on the map, there's, like, a power-up that you can pick up that allows you to turn into Darth Vader and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe that's how it works. I couldn't find one. But all the, like, the weapon or the vehicle power-ups and stuff is, like, basically you pick it up and then you can use it at any time. So you just hit, it will tell you what to hit to use it. And then you just hit it and, like, your guy, like, goes down, like, on his knees and then you just, like, transform into the walker or whatever it is.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that because it's like, so, you know, the vehicles aren't in certain locations on the map. It's just like,
yeah,
you have to find where the drops are. I don't know if you can call them drops, but you have to find where, like, the power-ups are. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you can use them at any time. And when you die, if you don't use them, you keep the power-up.
Nice.
So I do like that. And the other power-ups include, like, you can do, like, an orbital strike. You can do, I'm trying to think what else. You can get a rocket launcher. That's another power-up. I'm trying to think. There's a big...
Better weapons and stuff.
There's, like, a bubble shield that you can use. A couple other things. But it's pretty cool. You know, as you level up, you get different abilities as well. You get, like, a jump pack and certain things once you get to a certain level. So, yeah, I really like it so far. I'll probably be playing it all weekend, I assume.
Nice.
I think the beta ends Monday or Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah, so definitely get in on it if you haven't, because it's a lot of fun. I'll be streaming it on Twitch.
We need to end the podcast right now so I can go play.
I was like, what? I thought you were being serious for a second. I was like,
no.
You have to download it. It's like a 30 some gig download, so
yeah, it's installed.
Yeah, so definitely get in on playing it. I guess we'll list our Origin IDs on there so you guys can play with us and we can get some games going on there.
Show us how to play.
Yeah, the matchmaking is pretty easy. Like, I was into a match instantly. I didn't have any lag issues at all.
I imagine it's actually quite polished for a beta.
It looks great. It plays great.
You run into anything?
No. Not a single issue.
I bet it's pretty much release mode. They're just really advertising it.
I ran into being crappy at it when I first started playing. I ran into, like, literally, like, I was, like, 0-10. I think my first match, I was 0-10.
Spawn die.
It was a spawn die. It was just, like, you have to get used to the weapons and how they shoot and, like, you know, get used to the kill box and the, you know...
Yeah, being good at games.
Yeah, yeah, getting better at the games. But it's I got pretty good at it when I was playing it. And it didn't take me that long. So it's just good. It just takes a couple rounds and.
Well, if you can do it, I mean, like, hey, we should all get on and play.
Yeah, but definitely we will be streaming this weekend, and we will be playing this. So definitely stay tuned for that.
Awesome.
Yeah, that is it for the news this week.
Dang.
Not a whole lot of news.
Quick.
So coming up next week, finally going to get my review done of the Gigabyte X99 SLI motherboard, which is basically the entry-level motherboard from Gigabyte on the X99 platform. So if you want to get in the X99 platform and you don't want to spend a whole lot of money and you don't need a whole lot of extra features that you typically don't need, this is the board for it. That's Pretty much, we've been talking about this. One thing that I did want to mention is we're not doing as many reviews each week. And I think the reason why is because I really want to polish our reviews and make them good. I don't want to rush things out. And I think that in the past, we've kind of done that. Sort of rush things out and not really, not saying that we didn't do good reviews, but just more polish on the reviews, really more in detail and everything like that. And especially when it comes to motherboard reviews, I don't want to rush these out.
Yeah.
I want to do the best testing possible, and I want to make sure we cover everything, not just kind of throw it out there.
Makes sense. It's the way to do it.
Yeah. So we'll be taking a look at that motherboard next week, and then also the Audiofly AF78 in-ear headphones. These are the ones I talked about last week. These are quite expensive. Awesome. I did the unboxing this week. Very, very cool. They actually come with... these awesome, what are they called? I can't think right now.
I can't help you.
Yeah. the tips on them, they come with a set of silicone tips in different sizes. Right. And then
the buds themselves?
Yeah. Yeah, the actual buds, I guess you don't call them. They come with a set of silicone tips, and then they come with ones that, like, are form-fitting to your ear.
Mm-hmm.
They feel really weird in your hands, but when you put them in, as say like you're perspiring or something, they'll expand or they'll get smaller. nice. To fit your ear perfectly, and they dampen out sound like crazy, which is weird for earbuds because earbuds typically don't do that.
No, they
but
just
I was using these all day yesterday, and these just totally take out the sound. So like if you want to really get work done, you don't want to hear a lot of people. You know, you're in a coffee shop that's noisy or something like that. These are awesome for that. They sound really great too. But we'll talk about those obviously next week when I release the review. But these are really, really great.
Okay, nice.
Yes,
look forward to that.
Yes. So that is basically it. At the end of each podcast, we talk about something cool that we did this week. I don't know if you did anything.
Oh, let's see. What did I do? Oh, I bricked a video card.
Yes.
my beautiful 690 is possibly dead, but I might be able to save it. There's a couple of reflow methods I'm going to try.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, computer problems, man. It was just all week. Windows not being very friendly, but you know, it's kind of I'm kind of recovering, getting back there.
That's good. You? At least I didn't have any computer problems. I typically know how to use a computer. You know.
Yeah. Well, good.
No real computer problems. The Pirates lost, which I don't know, expected. I'm not a huge baseball fan, but it was a big deal. It was pretty crazy, actually. It was really nice down there. They had a lot. They closed down the entire street in front of the stadium, and they had food trucks come in and all this different kind of stuff. It was pretty cool down there.
Yeah.
So I was down there for that. I was down there on the boat. It was kind of bummed that they lost, but the Pirates always do.
Yeah.
You know, they never really go far in the playoffs.
They never usually make it.
Yeah. Hockey season started last night. Penguins lost. So.
Good time to be a Pittsburgh sports fan.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we're supposed to do good this year. It's the first game. You know, so.
Yeah.
I'm just glad hockey's back. I have Game Center Live. I think it's called Game Center Live, which allows me to watch every game online at the same time. So that's pretty cool. So I like that because this is a busy season for us as far as reviews, and I'm always working, and I don't want to sit down and watch the game a lot of times, so I can have the game on one screen and writing reviews or, you know, doing news on the other screen. So it's kind of nice. I would definitely recommend that if you are a hockey fan, just because it's just awesome. And, you know, if you're traveling or something like that and you want to catch your local team, and a lot of times – a lot of hockey games aren't nationally on national TV, you know. So if you're not in your area, you can't watch it. This gives you the ability to watch all the games, and you can watch both feeds, which is kind of cool. So if we're playing a Canadian team, I like to watch a Canadian feed, and you get like all the Canadian commercials, and it's just kind of cool. It's kind of cool like that. So yeah,
to make you feel more cultural.
No, it's interesting to see what they're like advertising on TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's probably a nice breath of fresh air from all of our standard commercials.
Yeah, that too. So that is it for our podcast. As always, guys, we will have a dedicated page that has all of our show notes, everything that we talked about with links, so you can check it out as you listen to the podcast. You can also subscribe on there. You can subscribe in iTunes. Just type in Think Computers, all one word. And we should pop up, I believe. same thing on Android and all that. We also have an RSS feed for the podcast specifically. So if you just want to subscribe to the podcast, you can go ahead and do that. And as always, we have all of our podcasts listed in the podcast section of the website. So if you want to go back and check out an older version of the podcast or see how either good or bad we've gotten since the first episode, you can go ahead and...
Awesome. Nothing but awesome.
Yeah, you can go ahead and do that as well. And until next week, catch everybody later.